Hallelujah. Well, the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dumb speak. The dead are raised, thousands and thousands are born again in this outpouring. Hallelujah. The house is full. Did you have a hard time getting in the parking lot tonight? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Good to see a couple that I'd met. A young lady, I guess years ago at one of the Tulsa conferences, and she's here with her husband, and they're down from Sarasota area. We're glad to have them. And so they're just attend a church up there, and they're so busy. They've been wanting to get down, and they picked tonight. So great. Hallelujah. We're blessed. Hallelujah. So I hope you had a good and wonderful Christmas, and everything went well, and you're not food drunk, you're here. Maybe you are a little bit. So it was good. Everything was good. Marty, I don't know, maybe it's me tonight, but I'm still a little cool up here. I don't know if you can do anything about that. But somebody said, well, Pastor's cool, it's something's wrong. So hallelujah. But we're going to try to make it comfortable for you. So hallelujah. Sunday, please be here, and all of you watching, come with your pen and notebook to take notes. And I know this is going to sound impossible, and I don't normally teach like this. I'm more a exhorter, or if I'm going to teach, it'll be line on line as far as staying in one particular passage or two or three. But you're not going to believe that I have 20 points to cover on Sunday. So it'll be miraculous. It'll not just be miraculous what you'll hear, but if we can get through those 20 points, but it'll be 20 ways to win in 24. And I haven't been trying to mentally come up with it. It's just the Holy Spirit's just been downloading stuff. It's terrible when a pastor is off a full week. We didn't have Sunday service. And we gave that off to you. And some churches did, and that's wonderful. But, you know, a lot of families here are really busy. I went out on Christmas Day to pick up my dad, which is a few blocks away. And the Baptist church had a lot of people in their parking lot. And I drove by there, and I didn't realize it was Sunday. It was Christmas to me. And I thought, why are all these people here today? This is great. And I wrote, oh, it's Sunday. You know, that's what people normally do. They go to church on Sunday. So that was really neat. So, amen. So Gary texted me Sunday morning, and he said, where are you guys at? Or what? And I said, no, I'm assuming you're taking off today. And I said, yes. So, but we're back tonight, and we'll be back Sunday, and of course, we're looking forward to sharing the Lord's Day. And if you have something to give tonight, just remember there's an offering basket in the back when you leave, and that's up to you. And we appreciate you remembering your place of worship during these days, and thank you for giving online, and so many of you do, and we appreciate that. Hallelujah. Boy, it's hard to get away from that worship. I think Matt saw me during break, because I just lost track of time. I think we could just continue to worship. And I think that's what we're going to do in a little bit. But let me just, there's a few things I believe the Lord wants to do tonight. And I want to read a couple of things and then make some comments. And we're going to bring the team back and we'll just worship for a bit. How's that? It's hard to beat worship, right? And you can sit, or you can stand or do whatever you want to. But I just feel impressed in my spirit. Let's just lift up without music. Let's just begin to worship Him. Father, we magnify You. Blessings and glory. Blessings and glory. Yes, sir. Manda karese vadiyah andekaro soto. Ha, chimbanda imbahote, yes, sir. Munde irinda isetie tolomanzoto. Who is as blind as my servant, says the Spirit of grace? And who is as deaf as my servant? For I've called you in a day and hour to go forth and against all circumstances and against all things that would come to contradict your assignment, I've asked you, and I'm coming to you to bring forth a blindness against those things and a deafness against those things, only seeing that which I have given to you from the very days of your conception, says the Spirit of grace, Mahalese, that you'd turn a deaf ear to all discouragement that says, when will this happen? But all you know is the promise inside of you that it will. And I'm asking you to viciously, ferociously, and with all vigor on the inside of your spirit to pursue those things. And again, laser focused, without all contradiction, says the Spirit of the Lord. For in these days, know this, that I'm raising up a standard in the earth. And all those who enter into it will be those who will take no acknowledgement of those things that come to contradict. Do not look at the crowds. Do not look at the personal contradictions concerning those things against your body or against your emotions or against your finances or any part of your life, says the Spirit of grace. For I've given you a mandate, and know this of surety and of great deliberateness, you'll enter into this. But I'm giving you this assignment, knowing that thy servants in the earth are those who are blind against all contradictions, are deaf to hear those things in which the enemy or the flesh could pour out against you to stop you in this hour. So rejoice, says the Spirit of the Lord. Rejoice in knowing that this grace is upon you. And as you go forward, that I'm with you to bring forth great encouragement, that you'll see only and hear only that which I speak and that which I put in front of you, says the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Well, I don't know about you. All I can see is revival. Hallelujah. All I can see is restoration. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. I want to read to you, as we at times will read to you something from different ministers. And this is from, boy, that was good, wasn't it? Hallelujah. That was good. I want to hear that myself. Hallelujah. This is from Mario Morello, and I'm just going to ask you to listen. I'm going to read, and then I really feel like we're going to worship some more. I told the worship team to be ready for that. But since we're kind of still in the Christmas, we'll have these decorations up until Sunday. We're still inside of this year. 24 is here. Hallelujah. And boy, 20 points to win. You want to hear this. Hallelujah. I'm going to stand outside of myself and hear this myself. It was the power of a single question that drove them to Bethlehem. Now, if you've already read this and you get his blogs, then wonderful. This will be good to hear it again. That was the title to this particular paper. And then we'll have some things to say here in just a minute. It was the power of a single question that drove them to Bethlehem. The single question is a burning question of our time. It is the question that will decide the fate of our nation. No, they did not doubt that Jesus was the Messiah. That was not the question, it was something else entirely. Why do we need to know the question that drove them? He asked, because our youth are on the verge of making the most disastrous mistake a generation can make. And the older generation, for a different reason, is about to make an equally disastrous mistake. Both generations are on the witness stand, and all of heaven is watching. The combined voice of reason, righteousness, and wisdom is about to level the question to them. What is the question? To find out, we must first pull back the veil of mystery that surrounds the wise men. They were from the Eastern school of Magi, a school most likely, he said, created by the prophet Daniel. And how did it happen? King Nebuchadnezzar saw the superior wisdom of the four young Hebrews, and that's in Daniel 1, verse 20. And in all matters of wisdom and righteousness about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times. It's remarkable. 10 times better than all the magicians and the astrologers who were in his realm. And we know that Daniel laid out a detailed prophetic timeline of when the Messiah would be born and when he could be crucified. These writings were handed down through the ages in his school. Then the king had a nightmare. Well, you've read about it, many of you. The king changed the rules, and the magicians were previously allowed to know the dream before interpreting it. This time, the king, out of an abject terror, demanded that they tell him his own dream. And Daniel did. He did. Then this happened. Daniel 2, 46 through 48. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face, prostrate before Daniel, and commanded that they should present an offering and incense to him. The king answered Daniel and said, "Truly, your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret." Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon. We know that Daniel laid out, and I think he said this, laid out a detailed prophetic timeline when the Messiah would be born and when he would be crucified. These things were handed down through the ages in his school. That was another, this is a subtitle, or was a subtitle. And when the Magi did the math based on Daniel's prophecies, they knew the time was near. And when they saw the star, they knew it was what they were waiting for. Messiah was born. It seemed a journey doomed to fail, a horrendous, expensive, dangerous, and foolhardy expense or escapade. We know they arrived 2 years later. It was not just because of the distance. It was mainly because of the massive preparations. Kings traveled with hundreds of people. We do not know how many kings there were. It is easy to conclude that it was hundreds. That's his studies. Because of the uproar in Jerusalem when they arrived. And this we do know in Matthew 2 through 3. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. So it was a city uproar. It really caused quite a deal. And we don't always catch that in just those short readings. "If only we could have overheard the deliberations of these wise men about whether or not to take the journey to Bethlehem. Was it going to take 2 years out of their life? Would their unannounced arrival be a pretext for war? Who would manage their vast responsibilities in their absence? Would they return to find ruin? It seemed a journey doomed to fail, horrendously expensive, dangerous, and foolhardy escapade. They fell silent. Then the silence was broken by the question, what, and here's the question, what if we don't go? What if we don't go? The very thought of what life would be if they missed this singular moment in history was too horrifying for words. To be haunted every day with another question, I wonder what would have happened if we had gone. You see where this is going? Our youth are terrified of the future. They are willing to trade freedom for safety. And not just any safety, the most dangerous kind. The kind where the government takes care of you. Have you ever heard of a generation of youth that actually trusts the government and the media? This generation does, he says. For the first time in American history, we need our youth to rebel. And they simply will not. And they are consistently making choices not to go. They stay home. They stare at their phones. They dream small dreams. And they have 60-year-old eyes in 20-year-old bodies. No risk, no audacity. They are the most bullied generation we have ever seen. And it's time to go to war against lies. This is a day of courage and bold choices. They're willing to side with Hamas, men who behead babies in front of their mothers. Why? Because of truth? Question, no. Because of fear. Fear of displeasing the influencers of TikTok and other demon-possessed professors. For the first time in American history, we need our youth to rebel, and they simply will not. I want to ask you the question, what will happen if we don't go? The older generation is just as guilty. They will not invest in the next generation because they still believe that they are the youth generation. Sure, they're angry, but not sacrificial. They are content to watch news channels and enrage, but not engage. It's time to act. Our nation is slipping away. It's time to go. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. It's time to take gigantic steps of faith. It's time for the old to wake up and sell their coffins. You're not going to be here. Stop planning on gumming applesauce at Leisure World. Put your money where the war is. The wise men are a great rebuke to the young and the old. They ask the evil king, where is the real king? They would take a flamethrower to our high maintenance, low impact Christianity. Amen. They would raise up and tell the truth no matter what the cost. I do not want to hear, he says, your excuse for not facing the danger of going into the fray against the evil that is suffocating America. I want to ask you the question, what will happen if we don't go? And that's to us. And we understand this, what our call is. It's to receive this revival. And we cannot. We've got received a mandate from the Lord, and we cannot do anything but be obedient to it. This was a prophecy. If you follow any of Gary Carpenter's messages, and if you follow along with his recent messages, this was a prophecy that he gave at the end of his last service that he teaches weekly. And it's short, just a couple paragraphs here. But it was on the 24th. It was this. It was Christmas Eve that this prophecy was given. It's the heart of a first-class servant. How much the Lord has taught us in this last year about humbling, or the last few months about humbling ourselves, and conditioning ourselves to be just used of the Lord, and just becoming a first-class servant and humbling ourselves. And this prophecy came at the end of his teaching that day, and I just thought, oh, the Lord wanted you to hear it. There shall be an increase of my servants in these last days. For surely, surely know that the last days are at the door. There shall be a mighty harvest like the world has not seen, even in the book of Acts. It shall exceed those days, says the Lord. And I shall rise up those that have the heart of a servant. Despise not the days of small beginnings. Well, here we are, Lord. Start where you are. Allow me to nurture the seed of Christ in you. For he already has the heart, has this heart, and that seed is in you. Spend time with me that I may nurture and grow the heart of the first class servant in you. If I find you faithful in small things, I will promote you to greater things. And I will pour my anointing upon those who have the heart of the first class servant to meet the needs of the kingdom. I will pour out my anointing upon you, and you shall have the joy of laboring in my fields, and the harvest shall be great. Last sentence. Blessed are those who go to preach my gospel. Blessed are those who send them, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you ready for this outpouring? Hallelujah. It's going to be something. You know, we saw, all of us, most everybody that's listening here and watching, a little taste of something in the earth last year. Last February was the Asbury, and that was amazing. But you know, here's the thing. It happened, and if you heard about that or read about that, it just sprung up, and it was a chapel service in February and the beginning part of February, and the students wouldn't leave. They were captivated by presence, and they didn't leave that chapel service, and they wouldn't leave the next chapel service, and it just perpetuated into something like a snowball. And then within a month or within weeks, 15,000 people a day were they couldn't get them all in there, but they would kind of usher them in and let them sit for a bit and come out. And it had tens of thousands of people visit it in just a few months. Well, as soon, just like it started, it ended. But here's the thing. Here's the amazing part. All of it was, all that was present, just presence. There was no signs, no wonders like the book of Acts. No, it of itself was a sign in that the Lord was saying this, and here's what we got to take from it. This is what we've got to understand concerning where we're going. America and the earth at large is a, it's a tinderbox. It's like, it's dry. It's dry for the presence of God. This generation has not ever been truly saturated with a presence that wows people and says, my God, this is what God's like. And they came in and they were so impressed, and there was no expository teaching. There was no great, there was no signs and wonders. There was nothing that is supposed to be part of the book of Acts outpouring in the last days. And what I'm saying is, I'm not putting that down, thank God, but all it was just a small kiss from heaven, just to say, and it never was meant. It never was. Somebody might say, well, they messed up by, and they didn't know, they didn't know how to nurture it and keep it going. But heaven really never intended that was going to start the entire revival of the end time. It was just a sign, and it was just this for us to say, if people become so impressed because they're so dry over the presence of God, there was no even great worship teams. They'd just stand up there I would stream it, and I could feel the presence of God, but I had felt that much or more presence. And like when I'd go to Tulsa, we'd all assemble together, or to Dayton. And there's been times where the presence of God has been in here so glorious. But God used that because of the media to introduce that to the earth and to say, look, this is only a kiss from heaven. Can you imagine for us and anybody that's really seeking revival, what the days of revival will be like when the presence of God is not only, when that is amped up many times over, then laden with signs and wonders and doctrine and teachings and miracles. I'm a little bit scared in a good way, because he can turn this thing, because all it was from one class to the next. And that tells you how quickly God can do something. And it can be from one service to the next. And I don't know how it'll appear. I don't know if we can't leave, or I don't know if it'll start with mighty miracles. But I can tell you this, because of the foundation that has been laid, I have no idea what we're going to do except follow him. Because the masses are so hungry. It's like we are in a dry and thirsty land. Even the churches that love God, there's a level of presence. But compared to the presence that is coming, this is a presence revival. It's a miracle revival. It's all of everything. It's the former and the latter combined. It's what Smith Wigglesworth said. I see it. I see the end. The end one. It's the one that leads all the way up to the catching away. And it's greater than all the rest. Hallelujah. And so we're just gonna sit for a little bit. Would you come by, guys, come back, and let's go for the next 20, 30 minutes. If you can sit or stand, let's just worship God, and then I'll just come back and dismiss you, and we'll just sit in his presence. Let's court this. Let's glean from this. Call on God. We worship you, Jesus. Amen.
I know that you. So I will feast at the table of the Lord. I will feast at the table of the Lord. I won't hunger anymore at His table. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your presence, for the promise in front of us, each of our lives going forward, and destiny, and purpose, because we know you. And you've taught us, Lord, how to engage deliberately on purpose as we glorify you. Thank you, Jesus. Just a couple announcements before we go tonight. Just want to continue to remind you that Jim and Kathy Martin are coming in February. And I think the date is the 17th is on a Sunday, but Jim is going to be here on that Wednesday night. So we're going to commandeer him. We're going to have him teach on, so that'll be the 14th. So all you Valentine people, if you want to really show your Valentine that you love him or her, bring him here. Hallelujah. So, but he'll be here the Sunday through Wednesday and teaching each night. And Jim said he's been just praying over the last couple of months on what God has for us here. And so we're excited about that. He always comes with a very powerful word. Although, also, those of you who are watching, and from time to time, we just remind people, if you want our teaching letters, just God always, all the glory to God, but there's always something that he gives us that's very powerful and very pertinent to the time that we live and where God is taking the church and where he's taking us and the church at large. And so Just go on our website, and you can afford them. They're free, and we don't ask for money. We just go on there and just send us an email and says, you know, please include me on the monthly teaching letter, and we will email you one. Hallelujah. I had a good time in the presence. Amen. Let's all stand. Thanks, guys. We really appreciate you guys. Hallelujah. And we appreciate our guests. Are you driving back tonight? Oh, you see? Well, they're young. Look how young and beautiful they are. They can just drive back. And this is, of course, we're getting out early. So I'm giving you 10 minutes or normally. So, Father, we just bless and worship you. Thank you for your presence, the prophetic, your word, and everything that you've given us. Lord, going forward into this new year, and though we don't put, Lord, on time, we don't put our expectation alone on just the calendar, but Lord, we know that you're doing something very powerful in the earth among your people that are seeking you. And we're just asking you tonight to take us from this place, spiritually speaking and physically, to the next place that you'd have us to be, going forward into revival, and we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Next few, I think the next several days are going to be cool. People up north would laugh at us, but it's going to be in the 40s for several days or a few days. And that's cold for us, right? Okay, so God bless you. We love you. We'll see you Sunday. Amen.